This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony. Gustav Mahler was generally picky when it came to Franz Schubert's music. He thought most of it was light and undeveloped. But what the two composers shared was an enormous gift for melody and an eerie ability to translate the most macabre images into music. So despite his tendency to dismiss Schubert's music, it seems almost inevitable that Mahler would be drawn to Schubert's song, Death and the Maiden, and the string quartet he built around it. Mahler was one of a number of 20th century conductors who felt the need to rearrange the music of the 18th and early 19th centuries to fit what they felt were the sensibilities of their audiences. His alterations of Beethoven's Ninth Symphony were particularly notorious, but he was very particular on the subject of chamber music. Chamber music, by definition, he said, is intended for performance in a domestic setting. Once it is transferred to the concert hall, the intimacy is lost, but more still is lost. In a large space, the four parts are weakened and do not reach the listener with the strength intended by the composer. I give them this strength by reinforcing each part. Does this alter the character of those works? Certainly not. The sound volume of a work must be adapted to the dimensions of the hall in which it is to be given. In a small theater, I would give the Nibelungen with a reduced orchestra, just as in an enormous theater, I would reinforce it." End quote. For Schubert, on the other hand, the intimacy of chamber music was one of his formative musical experiences. Schubert's principal instruments as a boy were the violin and piano, but like Mozart and Beethoven, he gravitated towards the viola part, right in the center of things, when playing string quartets with his family and friends. In the course of his short career, Schubert would compose 15 string quartets, along with numerous other chamber works ranging from duo sonatas to an octet. Beethoven had turned chamber music into a vehicle for a composer to work out his innermost struggles. For Schubert, chamber music was the ideal form in which to reconcile the beautiful melodies that seemed to pour out of him with the intensity and drama that ruled his own life. Schubert wrote his song Death and the Maiden in 1817, and the quartet that includes it 7 years later. The text describes a conversation between a young girl and Death, who has come to claim her. Death firmly but gently tells her that there is nothing she can say or do to alter her fate. He will take her with him. It's a sentiment that would resonate very deeply with Gustav Mahler. The fact that Schubert based an entire movement of this quartet on a quotation from Death and the Maiden almost forces us to approach the piece as a morbid work. He had just recovered from a serious illness and most likely knew he was dying. But that may not have been his idea at all. He certainly never suggested Death and the Maiden as a title for the composition as a whole. Still, it is an intense piece, and over the years, commentators have applied all sorts of death-related programs to it. It gets off to a dramatic start with the forceful proclamation of a motif that will dominate the opening movement. It's a shaking of the fist that is the spiritual cousin of the opening of Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. The quick triplets run over, under, and through the entire first movement, even providing a nervous counterpoint to the lyrical second theme. The drama of the movement, the struggle with death, ebbs and flows, and finally subsides. As the coda sets the mood for the title song to follow. The theme Schubert uses in this movement, a simple melody of just a few notes, is actually slightly modified from the piano part in the introduction to the song. Here, it provides the material for five variations of increasing intensity. Variation 1, the drama of the confrontation, features the restless triplets recurring from the first movement. Variation 2 features a lyrical cello solo. In variation 3, the conversation alternates, with an agitated take on the theme representing death and a gentler one for the maiden. Variation 4 is the only major key variation, perhaps death using his persuasive powers. And variation 5 returns to minor mode with an agitated violin solo. The opening melody returns in the coda, but this time in a major mode. Which does little to dispel the movement's overall sadness. The third movement scherzo has been described as the dance of the demon fiddler. It returns to the angry intensity of the opening movement. With some relief provided by the leisurely theme of the central section. The finale is a tarantella, or saltarello, a traditional Italian dance thought to ward off the supposedly deadly bite of the tarantula, and sometimes death itself. Thank you. It's a danse macabre in rondo form, which means, like the chorus of a popular song, the theme returns between sections that are more or less related. One of these departures is a seductive countermelody that Schubert lifted from his Erlkönig. Another song about a young person ceding to death as a friend. Schubert also brings in an almost stately chorale theme. With an echo of the quartet's opening motif, which finally leads to an exhausting prestissimo close. There's no question that when Mahler took on the task of adapting this quartet, he felt he was rescuing a piece that would otherwise be condemned to misrepresentation in a modern concert hall. His arrangement actually alters very little of Schubert's original, and mostly consists of redistributing or doubling certain lines to broaden the texture. But where is the music's greater good? Adapting a worthy piece to modern practices, as Mahler did, or adapting modern expectations to the piece in its original form, the way of the modern historical performance movement? Times change, and so do tastes. The answer, as with a great piece of chamber music, lies deep inside. This is Rick Malone for the San Francisco Symphony.